Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
If you're new tonight, we've been talking a little bit about worship and about what it means to worship. And so tonight, what I want to do is I want to continue on that. And I want to remind us of just a few things about worship. First of all, our experience of God's presence and His working in our life is in direct proportion to our worship. The more that we worship, the better we worship, the more we're going to see God do. I mean, the more time I spend in God's presence, the more I'm going to see God do in my life and in the circumstances for which I'm seeking Him. Worship has a way of intensifying God's work in our life. As well, in worship, we experience the power of God in a way that changes us personally. And one of the biggest things that worship does to change us personally is that it liberates us from ourselves, which is the greatest bondage of all. I mean, as long as I'm focused on myself, I'm not focused on God, right? When we've got our eyes on ourselves and we're thinking about ourselves, what happens is our world gets very small because it's all about us. But when I get my eyes on God, worship does that. It directs me to worship Him as I'm thinking about Him and not about me, as I'm thinking about His amazing power instead of my little personal preferences or my problems. What happens is it changes me. It allows God to change my perspective. It allows God to work in my life. It frees me up from myself. The third thing that worship does, it builds my faith. When you and I are worshiping, it builds our faith. Because suddenly God is bigger. And when God is bigger, our problem is always smaller. When we're magnifying God, we're minimizing our problem. Isn't that an awesome thing? The bigger God is to me, and the more I worship Him, the more as I'm singing the songs, as I'm saying those words, as I'm thinking about them and thinking about the God that those words speak about, it absolutely builds my faith. Another thing worship does, it sensitizes us to the presence of God, to the moving of God. Honestly, one of the things you just love about Sunday is you come in, you spend those two services in the presence of the Lord, and it sensitizes you to the Lord in a really wonderful way. Wednesday night does that. Being in the presence of the Lord tonight makes a difference tomorrow morning. It always does. I love what worshiping together as a body of believers does in terms of just opening our hearts to the reality of God's prompting, of God's moving, of God's working, that we'd be sensitive to Him. Worship as well brings about spiritual victory in my life and in the lives of people around me. I want you to think about this. Not only do all of us have areas where we need God to work His power in response to the need of our situation, but as I'm worshiping and as I'm proclaiming the Lord's goodness, as all of us are doing that, do you realize God says, I'm going to sit enthroned upon the praises of my people? And so as we're worshiping Him, we're inviting His presence into this place, and His presence is going to touch every single person's life in this place. Worship has a way of introducing people who maybe weren't even thinking about loving God, serving God, following God, to the reality of His greatness and His working in their life. It is so, so powerful. Now, last time we talked about the theology of worship, and now we're talking about some of the practices of worship. So we've talked about who we worship, how we should worship attitudinally, because it really begins in our heart, but it's not just limited to our heart. Because worship is not just a cerebral experience. It's not just something that we experience internally, but it involves a physical expression. God wants to be worshiped by us using our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole strength in worshiping Him. And when you read through the book of the Psalms, you see that very, very clearly. So there's a lot of expressions of worship that we can talk about, and we've talked about last week about lifting of our hands, about the power, about winning the battle. When Moses lifts his hands, they're winning the battle. When he puts his hands down, they're losing the battle, which says something about the spiritual warfare that happens when you and I, out of obedience to the Lord, are lifting our hands to God. There's something significant that happens. I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all, and that it's the only thing that matters, but I will tell you, it does matter, and it does make a difference. But there are other things physically that are expressions of worship aside from singing. Singing is important, and everybody ought to sing. You say, I don't have a very good voice. You need to sing anyway. We're not going to put you on The Voice. Don't worry about that. But we need you to use your voice, right? So it's important that everybody say, well, I just can't sing. You know, don't worry about it. Nobody can hear you. Nobody's going to be. You stop thinking about you. You start thinking about God. Open your mouth to the Lord. It's beautiful in His ears, and it is awesome in what it does in this place. Tonight, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about two more elements. I want to talk to you about clapping, and I want to talk to you about shouting. Clapping and shouting. So first of all, clapping. In Psalm 47 and verse 1, we read this, clap your hands, all peoples, shout to God with loud songs of joy. Now, when we clap to the Lord, one of the things, you know, everybody has like pet peeves or you have things you just hate to see. One of the things that I just always, it's always like, oh, that's not cool, is when you're in church and we're encouraged to clap this group would never do it. So I'm not talking about James River. I'm talking about other places I've been where I've seen this, where people are encouraged to put their hands together and bless the Lord. And what they do is they give a little golf clap. Are you familiar with the golf clap? You know, the golfer sinks the putt, and people give a little polite little clap. And it's just like such a sissy thing. And it's just like, golf's not a sissy sport, but a golf clap, it's just not right. You know, a golf clap in church is a bad move. It's not good to do it. And then, you know, there's other people, and they have the idea that, you know, they kind of do it like a round of applause, just a pleasant round of applause. So if we had some dignitary here, somebody that we wanted to welcome, we'd say, would you give him a round of applause? Got a special guest, and you give him a nice little round of applause. But that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about clapping to the Lord. We all need to understand what we're talking about here. It's not a golf clap, and it's not a pleasant little, round of applause. You know, when we're clapping to the Lord, we are welcoming the personality, the person who is the greatest person in all the world, in all the universe, in all the seen and unseen world. You know, I was out at, and I've said this before, but I'm still reliving that good memory of a couple weeks ago. I was out at Mile High, and the Denver Broncos were getting ready to play the Green Bay Packers. And most people did not give them a chance. But when the Denver Broncos came out onto that field, the place went crazy. Nobody said, would you all stand and clap for the Denver Broncos? The announcer never asked people to clap. But when they started coming out on the field, everybody was clapping, and it wasn't a golf clap. And it wasn't a pleasant round of applause. It was a full-on, excited, loud, thunderous, ovation. The place was going crazy. Now, the Indianapolis Colts may be able to beat the Denver Broncos, but they can't beat God. He's bigger than anybody, and he deserves a thunderous ovation because he's the greatest. Come on, let's do it. Come on. Come on, he's the champion. Put your hands together. God. That's awesome. And I'm just getting started. Now I want to suggest to you that clapping, and that was really good. That was good, but we're going to get even better because the best is yet to come, right? Isn't that what we say? So when we're talking about clapping, there's a couple of things that I think are important to note. That first of all, clapping is a way to welcome the king and affirm his rule. So what we're doing, when we're clapping, we're celebrating him, yes, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but we're welcoming him into this place. It's appropriate. So if Randall and the team would say, let's put our hands together and let's bless the Lord, let's honor God is what we're saying, and we're clapping, we're welcoming him. It'd be just like if the President of the United States walked in, you would stand when he comes to do the congressional deal, and there might be people in the Congress who are of a different party, and they might not really like the decisions of the president, but everybody stands and they clap. I mean, do you ever watch a State of the Union, and you just kind of laugh because it's like, and then everybody starts clapping. And then everybody starts clapping, and you're like, man, you know, it's just funny, all these ovations, but he's the president, and he's talking, and so that's the way that thing rolls, right? But when we come into church, the greatest is here. And we are welcoming him into this place. We're saying, God, you are welcome in this place, and you are the king, and you are the ruler, and we affirm your reign in this place. Listen to this. The scripture says this in 2 Kings chapter 11. Then they brought out the king's son. This is Joash. And they put the crown on him and gave him the testimony, and they proclaimed him the king, and they anointed him, and they clapped their hands. And nobody, I promise you, it didn't say, and then the high priest said, let's all give him a round of applause. They didn't do that. He's the king. They're glad that he's there. They're excited. They're welcoming him. They're affirming his leadership. They're affirming his rule and his reign. And our appropriate response to that is to clap their hands. When you and I clap, we're affirming the reign of the king. We're affirming he's welcome in this place. That's what it means to clap our hands. Then second, it is a declaration of joy and victory. It's interesting. When you read through the scripture, there'd be a verse in Nahum. There's another one in Ezekiel. There's another one in Job where it talks about standing over an enemy and clapping. It's like a celebration of the victory that you've achieved. It's also just a response, I would suggest to you, an innate human response of joy. Have you ever watched somebody and they're just so excited, they just start clapping? Have you ever seen that happen where somebody just like is surprised and they're overjoyed and they just like put their hands together? Like we had Everett, one of my grandsons, we had his birthday party a couple weeks ago at our house. And so, you know, he comes in and he's 3 years old and he's just, you know, kids at that age are so much fun. They're fun at every age, but he comes in, and whose birthday is it? It's my birthday, and he says this, happy birthday to me, and I said, you're right, happy birthday to you, and then and he said that like two or three times through the evening, but he got so excited, he just started to clap. Nobody had to tell him to clap. It's just a response of joy to the Lord. Clapping, a part of it is we're honoring him, we're affirming him, we're celebrating him. Part of it is just the joy of the Lord welling up inside the people of God to say, God, you are awesome. We're celebrating you. And I would suggest to you, all creation is doing that. I mean, listen to this, Psalm 98, it says this, let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy together. Watch this in Isaiah chapter 55, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth in singing, and all the trees of the field, what were they doing today? They were clapping their hands. Did you see them out there clapping so hard the leaves were coming off, right? So, you're having a bad hair day, but the trees are just clapping their hands, right? Out there in that wind. It's the joy. Do you ever think of that when you watch the trees and they're moving, that the trees are clapping their hands? It's such a cool scripture to think, you know, there is creation praising the Lord, clapping their hands, loving God. Amen. We clap our hands to the Lord. And then we do this. Then we shout. Now, it's interesting to me to notice how clapping, singing, shouting are all linked together in the psalm. It's very, very interesting to look at that and to watch how it's mentioned together, that it's all part of a joyous expression of praise. You may be from a background where when you went to church, it was, shh, you're in church. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. That is not typical of God's people getting together in the Bible. You know, I would say this to you. People say, well, there's a scripture that says, be still and know I'm God. You got one verse, and I can lay down about 30 that talk about the other. So, you know, if you're going to take proportionate to what this teaching of scripture is, when God is moving among his people, the people celebrate. When the people are experiencing victory, the people celebrate. When the king is present among his people, the people celebrate. When the enemy is being defeated, the people celebrate. You go anywhere you want to go in the world where God is moving among his people, and it is loud, and it is demonstrative, and there is celebration, and the place is alive, because that's how it is when the king is present and the king is working. Look at it in Psalm 47. We'll bring up several different versions. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. And then the NIV says, clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. So there's the clapping and there is the shouting. The clapping is the celebration of God's entrance, the welcoming of his presence, the acknowledgement of his greatness, the joy at the king being there, the joy in the king. Oh God, you're so awesome. And you just begin to clap and to praise him. And then there's the shouting. It's interesting, the word shout, ruah, in the Hebrew, every time you see that word used, it's in conjunction with celebration and victory. It's interesting, let me just give you some examples through the Psalms. You have Psalm 60 and verse 8 over Philistia, I shout in triumph. That's God speaking. God himself shouts, and when he shouts, it's really, really loud. He can put it out. Well, in Psalm 65, it says, the meadows are covered with flocks and valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. Listen, creation is designed to shout. We're part of creation. We're designed. Jesus said, you remember when he was coming in on the triumphal entry and the Pharisees and the Sadducees were like, you need to tell these people to be quiet. And Jesus said, if they don't cry out, what would happen? The rocks will cry out. In other words, there's something in creation. We're designed to acknowledge our Creator, not quietly, but with a shout. I'm not saying there's not a place for quiet. I'm just saying for most people, that's not the struggle. The struggle is to recognize that we were created to shout and to really do it. So there's a celebration with it. In Psalm 66, shout with joy to God, all the earth. So there's nobody who can say, well, you know what? I don't feel like it. Or I wasn't raised that way. Or that's not what I'm comfortable with. No, it's all the earth. That's you. That's everybody. Turn to the person next to him and say, that's you. That's you. Some of you are starting to get uncomfortable. You're like, I think it's time to leave. No, not yet. Don't go yet. Psalm 81, sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. And that's for the person who says, well, I'm shouting on the inside, just quiet on the outside. No, you got to shout aloud. You got to make a noise. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. And then you come to Psalm 98 and verse 4. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing and trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. In other words, even when you got the orchestra up on the stage and everybody's wearing the tuxedo with the black tie, we're not too dignified to shout to the King. I mean, there's never a time it's not appropriate to just shout to the King and to worship the Lord. And then it says this, it says in Psalm 100, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Now, here's what's interesting. I'm going to ask musicians to come. What's interesting is that Hebrew word, ruah, for shout, it's used seven times, if you count the word shouted, in Joshua chapter 6. Remember in Joshua chapter 6 what's happening? The nation of Israel, Joshua has led them into the promised land. The first city they've got to conquer is Jericho because it's a garrison. It's a well-armed fortress. And so God gives them a very unique plan for conquering Jericho. If they don't conquer Jericho, they're not going to get the promised land. So God says, here's the way we're going to do this thing. Which again tells you that even the physical battles of life have a huge spiritual component to them. I don't know what your physical battle. Your physical battle could be finances, but I can promise you there's a spiritual thread that runs through that physical battle of finances. You could have a battle with illness, or you could have a battle with relationships, or you could have a battle at work. I'm just saying that the spiritual realities are the greater realities. Here they're facing a situation, and God gives them a very unique way of winning the battle. God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a week, and I want you to march around each day to go out. I don't want anybody saying anything. You just quietly go out, march around the city, and then come back into camp. And you have to believe the first day, the people up in Jericho were like, that's weird. I mean, these people are really not very bright. Do they really think they can? I mean, that's nothing. What is, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Because you know what? The natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit. He cannot understand them. They're spiritually discerned. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That there are times the weapons we fight with are not of this world. We don't wage war, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, as the world does. The weapons we fight with are spiritually powerful for the destruction of strongholds, of you know, cities that are fortified. That's a stronghold right there. So the world didn't understand it. And it takes a lot of faith to follow God and to believe that God's weapons and God's ways are going to lead to victory in our life. But I'm telling you, it's true. And that's what you have happening here. Here's a fortress. What's going to tear down that fortress? It's not going to be the size of their army, and it's not going to be a full-on frontal assault. God says, no, walk around it for a week, one time. And on the seventh day, what I want you to do is I want you to walk around it seven times. And on the seventh time, what I want you to do is I want you to give this celebratory shout to the Lord. Look at what it says. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak, marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city seven times. And the seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, shout! For the Lord has given you the city. Now, wait, time out a minute. Joshua, wait a minute. The walls are still there. The soldiers are still there. I don't know how. Physically, it doesn't look like anything's changed in my situation. Doesn't look like anything. I mean, how can you have a shout of victory when the soldiers are still up on the wall watching and nothing has changed? So this is where faith comes in. You know, it's through faith and our exercise of faith in the God we serve and the word he's declared and the weapons he's given us to fight with. It's when you and I choose to walk by faith and use spiritual weapons that are divinely powerful for the destruction of strongholds. It's when you and I are operating on that level in that way that suddenly, and so what happens is a lot of people, here's where people make a mistake. Well, you know what, if God will heal me, I'll sure shout. If God will give me the check in the mail, I'll sure shout. Well, you know what? How about you shout beforehand, not after? How about you exercise some faith and recognize that there's a power in using the spiritual weapons of our warfare? Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And when the trumpet sounded, the people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, when did the walls start to collapse? When the people gave not just a shout, a loud shout. When the people gave a loud shout, that's when the wall came down. Listen, I don't know what it is that you're facing. I don't know where it is that you're at right now in your spiritual journey. I don't know what kind of battle. I don't know what kind of fortress. I don't know what it is that you need. I just know that the weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful for the tearing down of strongholds. That when we come in to this place and we are gathered in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, and we've come to worship him, and we know that he's the one who has the answer. I'm just telling you that God is going to honor your faith as you lift your voice, as you shout to God. So right now, would you just begin to shout? Would you just begin to lift your voice? Would you begin to praise the King? Come on, let's do it.